This is The Morning Show. I'm Lee Rayburn in for Kate Archer Kent this morning. And according to two recent reports from the nonprofit, nonpartisan investigative news outlet Wisconsin Watch, Wisconsin preschoolers are 5 times more likely to be expelled than K through 12 students. And that expulsion rate can be linked to the mental health of teachers. So what's happening in our early education classrooms? And are our little ones all right? How about our teachers? What can we do to help them both? We invite you to call in with your questions or thoughts during our conversation. Join us at 1-800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas at WPR.org. Elise Loomis is an assistant professor in the College of Social Work at the University of Utah. She specializes in the impact of early childhood trauma. And Elise, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thanks for having me, Lee.
So why are students being expelled from preschool? What are the reasons for this?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I think the overarching reason is challenging behaviors. And one thing that I like to kind of caveat that with is that for preschoolers, challenging behaviors are pretty developmentally typical. I have a 1-year-old and 3-year-old myself, and I can attest to that. Preschoolers are trying to understand these big feelings that they have. They're trying to learn how to regulate their emotions, and they want to be independent and do things by themselves, and that can lead to challenges in relationships with adults. And so challenging behaviors broadly can be pretty typical. I think what leads to expulsion and suspension are behaviors that kind of go above and beyond challenging behaviors. So behaviors that are aggressive or dangerous in the classroom. This might be like flipping chairs over when they get upset, or biting another teacher or another student. Kind of a pattern of behavior like this, or it may be things that aren't dangerous but are emotionally or physically disruptive. So when I was an early childhood mental health clinician in Connecticut before coming here to Utah, I worked with a lot of children who were struggling at school in their preschool setting. And, you know, for example, one child I worked with would run out of the classroom and then a couple times ran out of the school building. And so that's something that was really disruptive both to kind of his classroom setting and to the school around him. So things that may disrupt the classroom, even if it's not dangerous. Those are things that might lead to expulsion or suspension.
Those are the reasons for young students, for mm-hmm. children. But are there structural reasons? Like, are there reasons that could be as a result of the, as you mentioned, school around him, class sizes mm-hmm. or other aspects?
Absolutely. There are so many other things kind of that interact with children's behaviors. I think one thing that's important to name is implicit and explicit biases. So we know from data, kind of a number of different data sources, that children of color are more likely to get suspended or expelled, both in preschool and kind of throughout their educational trajectories. This is especially the case for Black preschoolers and Black boys, who tend to be suspended and expelled at higher rates than kind of the proportion that they make up within the school. And this can be attributed in large part to implicit biases. So these racial biases that shape how teachers and how school personnel may perceive a child's behavior. So we know from research that children may behave in the same way, but a teacher may look at that differently or understand that differently based on the color of the child's skin. And so, we think that leads to some of these higher rates of suspension and expulsion. Boys are also more likely to get expelled, maybe because of kind of the types of behaviors that they tend to demonstrate. Children with disabilities are more likely to get suspended and expelled, and this has been seen in a number of different data sets. And then children with trauma, that's kind of my area of work, specifically children who have been exposed to things like domestic violence, child maltreatment, are at higher risk of suspension and expulsion. And I think this has to do both with the behaviors that may go along with children trying to make sense of the trauma they've experienced, but also kind of what's going on in the school environment, to kind of go to what you were saying about the school environment. Like, what resources are available at the school level for teachers to make sense of children's behaviors, to help intervene with children's behaviors? Do they have access to social emotional resources and supports? Do they have access to training on implicit bias and trauma? Do they have access to early childhood mental health consultation, which is a great model that can support teachers who are struggling with a child's challenging behavior. So it's not just the behavior, but it's kind of the context of resources also that the behavior is occurring in.
We're talking about preschool expulsion with Elise Loomis, an assistant professor in the College of Social Work at the University of Utah. And we invite you into the conversation with your questions, your comments, your experiences with your preschool, 800-642-1234. That's 800-624-1234. And Elise, what happens after a kid gets expelled from preschool or early childhood education? How does it affect a child's development from there?
Yeah, so we know that, you know, children who experience suspension and expulsion are more likely to get suspended and expelled down the line. And so it may create kind of a pattern of experiences in the educational setting. And, you know, I think this has to do with how a young child can even make sense of being expelled. Like, you know, it may lead them to think, like, is school a place for me? Do teachers like me? Am I bad? And I am curious, like, how does that drive then how children engage in future classroom settings? But, you know, preschool is not mandatory. And so it also means that a child may be excluded from an educational setting if a parent isn't able to find another place for that child to be. So it definitely has a developmental impact on the child. It also has an impact on parents and caregivers. I think both in terms of kind of the stress of navigating what it means for your child to be suspended and expelled, but also kind of the kind of economics. You know, I have worked with parents who have lost their jobs because they had to respond so many times and go pick their child up so many times from a preschool setting that they were let go from their place of work. And so I think there's a real economic impact, too, of if I can't find another childcare center or preschool for my child, what am I going to do? And thinking about kind of that kind of impact on jobs. I also think, and we don't talk about this enough in the expulsion world, but that suspension and expulsion has an impact on the teacher and on the program too. No teacher is excited to expel a child. I think I've heard from teachers who talk about just really grappling with the decision to ultimately expel a child and talking about how it can really counter their values as a teacher, you know, why they came into this profession in the first place. And so I know that there's a real impact to teachers and to program directors and school staff as well.
So as mentioned, Elise, the report from Wisconsin Watch says Wisconsin preschoolers are 5 times more likely to be expelled than the state's K-12 students. Do we know how that number compares to the national average?
We don't really know. So in that early 2005 report from Dr. Walter Gilliam that kind of launched a lot of research on early suspension and expulsion, they found that young children were at about a three times higher rate. So that 5 times is a little bit higher than the national average from 2005. But, you know, there's no good way to compare suspension and expulsion data across states. I think that's a really tricky thing in terms of how to contextualize. There's no clear definitions of suspension and expulsion. There's often not mandated tracking of suspension and expulsion, especially in these early care and education settings, which can make it hard to know, are our programs even working when we're trying to prevent expulsion? What we do know from 2016 data from the National Survey of Children's Health is that this still is really an issue. In that data, there were about 17,000 children who had been expelled and about 174,000 children who had been suspended from age 0 to 5 in the last year from their child care center. So this still is a really big issue kind of nationally, I think, because we don't have consistent ways to track data, it makes it hard to compare.
Elise Loomis is an assistant professor in the College of Social Work at the University of Utah. We're looking at preschool expulsions in Wisconsin, and you can join our conversation by calling in with your questions or your thoughts, your experiences, 800-642-1234, parents or teachers, 800-642-1234. I'm Lee Rayburn, and you're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. We'll be right back. This is The Morning Show. I'm Lee Rayburn, and we're talking about keeping kids from getting kicked out of school, preschool. Our expert is Elise Loomis, assistant professor in the College of Social Work at the University of Utah, and you can join us at 1-800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas at WPR.org. Elise, I want to ask about COVID and the role that COVID's played on early childhood socialization, education. What kind of impact has what occurred as a result of COVID had?
To me, the biggest one of the big areas has been on teacher stress levels. And this relates to this question about what causes suspension or expulsion. We know that teacher stress and depression can have an impact on a child's risk of expulsion in their classroom. And kind of following COVID, there's a lot of data that shows that we have a really highly stressed workforce. So a recent report, a 2023 report from the Children's Equity Project, found that about 45% of the early care and education professionals that they had surveyed kind of during COVID and kind of 2020 to 2021 reported having symptoms of depression, and about 26 to 22% had reported higher stress. So I think this thinking about kind of how teachers kind of rallied during COVID and the impact of COVID on teacher stress levels, and then just on the numbers in the workforce, that there's a lot of teacher shortages, and thinking about what that does to classroom sizes, what that does to the stress levels of the teachers who are there, and how that impacts children, the classroom quality of children's learning environments.
And just to follow up on that, Elise, the nonprofit advocacy organization Raising Wisconsin says the state has a child care professional turnover rate of over 40%. So what is the role of staffing shortages in these expulsions of preschool children? And what does this mean? What does this mean for their education?
Yeah, it's such a national issue. I mean, to go back to teacher stress, like if folks are leaving my school setting, that can place a higher burden on the teachers who are still there, and that can lead to expulsion rates. Student-teacher relationships are also really important, both in terms of thinking about children's educational experiences and their developmental outcomes, especially in early childhood. Relationships are so important, are such like a framework for children for learning how to understand emotions and regulate emotions. So I think about a child who is in a classroom with teachers who kind of are coming and going, or where there's a lot of turnover, and think about what that does to a child's relationship with teachers in their classroom. My own work has found that close relationships with teachers can help buffer the impact of tough behavior on expulsion risk. So a warm relationship with a teacher can be really protective for students against expulsion. And if there's a lot of turnover, I, as a child, may not have time to develop that warm relationship that can serve as that buffer. I think this is really especially critical for certain groups of kids, such as kids who've experienced trauma, for whom the student-teacher relationship may be even more critical.
Elise Loomis, assistant professor in the College of Social Work at the University of Utah, taking a look at preschool expulsions and what can be done on behalf of our youngest ones and on behalf of our educators. 1-800-642-1234 to join us, 800-642-1234. Julian Madison joins us now. Julie, good morning.
Good morning.
Hi, what do you got for us?
Well, I'm wondering, has the professor looked at things from the point of view of the student? I'm an autism spectrum disorder 1. I've got advanced degrees, pretty good job, terrible record in early school. The teachers couldn't get their brains around not touching me, and that I wanted to and intended to sit under my desk.
Julie, I very much appreciate that and a certain perspective from a student who had, you know, different needs. Elise?
I think that is such a wonderful question. I know work has been done with older children who have experienced suspension and expulsion. Dr. Charles Bell has a great book out related to suspension for older youth, particularly Black youth who've experienced suspension and expulsion. In the preschool setting, I don't know of work, and I haven't done it myself, from the student perspective specifically, like in terms of asking young kids, how are you understanding what's happening to you? How are you making sense of that? I think that's a really important gap that you're identifying that we need to bring into these conversations.
Yeah, Julie, so grateful for your perspective, and thank you for joining us. Elise, what would the alternatives be for preventing expulsion for students who could be seen as disruptive, who might be perceived as dangerous in the classroom, classrooms which mm-hmm. may have, newer teachers who might have their own implicit biases? What can we do as opposed to expelling the students?
I know a lot of schools are trying to build in training and professional development. Another resource that is being talked about a lot in the expulsion prevention world is infant and early childhood mental health consultation. So this is a really lovely model that brings in trained mental health consultants into the school environment to support teachers who are struggling with a child's challenging behavior. So it may be providing training, it may be providing coaching, it may be providing a reflective space where a teacher can kind of think about, you know, what might my biases be, or my past experiences, and how might those be coming into my relationship with this child. So that's a model that's shown some promise in terms of reducing overall kind of risks and rates of expulsion, and also shows some promise in terms of reducing disparities, racial disparities in particular, within those rates. Some other things that are being done kind of at a statewide level, not necessarily at the school level, but statewide supports, are kind of providing statewide supports for training and consultation for early childhood education providers. So there's a model in Arkansas called Behavior Help, where they coordinate training, technical assistance, and mental health consultation resources for early care and education providers. Another one in Ohio, the Preschool Expulsion Prevention Partnership, that again provides training and consultation to licensed preschools, family child care providers, Head Start programs, private preschools. So I think states are thinking about how can we help fill the need in terms of training and real kind of like one-on-one supports for teachers and provide those resources. Another thing that a lot of states are doing is trying to pass legislation related to reducing or eliminating the use of suspension and expulsion in preschool settings or early care and education settings broadly. Some colleagues and I did a review of kind of any of the legislation out there back in 2019, and we had found there were 12 states who had either proposed or passed this type of legislation. And, you know, one of the things that we had highlighted there is that although this legislation can be one step, we really need those resources and the financial supports for those resources to go along with it. It's not enough to say you just can't expel a child without providing what to do instead and some supports for teachers.
What a survey from 2021 says 29 states have developed some policies about expulsion or suspension in early child and care and education environments. Do we know the effects these policies have had, what the outcomes are?
Yeah, so more and more states are doing that. You see the difference between our 2019 survey and that 2021. So there's a few states that have tried to track kind of what are outcomes. So, for example, there's a report by Child Trends where they interviewed folks after the Maryland implementation of legislation in 2017. And there's some mixed findings. They find that staff were accessing more trainings, but that there was kind of a lack of clarity about the policy and what it meant for discipline. So, like, everyone may not have had the information at every program, or may not have totally understood, like, what does this mean for my school? And they also found that schools were using suspension and expulsion less, but were relying on informal or soft exclusion. So things like revoking a child's transportation. And if a parent can't get a child to school, then that child's essentially kind of barred from that school environment, or a parent being told that their child's just not a good fit. A colleague of mine, Dr. Kate Zinser in Illinois, looked at the legislation that was passed in Illinois in 2018 and found similar things. Like, there was variation about how knowledgeable folks were about the law, And they really highlighted the gaps in terms of infant and early childhood mental health consultation, that, again, we can pass this legislation, but we need to really back it up with resources for schools.
Elise, thanks so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you so much for having me.
Elise Loomis, assistant professor in the College of Social Work at the University of Utah. And if you want to connect with The Morning Show on social media, you can always find us online on Facebook at The Ideas Network. And your comments are still welcome anytime at ideas@wpr.org. I'm Lee Rayburn, and you're listening to The Morning Show on The Ideas Network.